This is the Trinitonian Podcast.
This is your source for a weekly roundup of campus news, events, insights, perspectives, and more.
This is the Trinitonian Podcast.
For the week of October 1st, this is the Trinitonian Podcast. I'm your host, Dominic Anthony. On this week's podcast exclusive segment, I interview Dr. Gary Safeman, Director of Choral Activities here at Trinity University. Keep listening to hear about the Chamber Ensemble's trip to Austria in early August, upcoming choir concerts, and more. But first, news from around campus.
I'm Kathleen Creedon, Executive Print Editor of the Trinitonian. This week in news. At the last SGA meeting, senators discussed the potential of organizing a partnership with Bird Scooter. The electric scooter company reached out to Amulya Deva, senior and president of SGA, and Rachel Daniel, senior and vice president. This partnership would mean that Trinity would receive $1 per day per scooter on campus. The money could be allocated anywhere, but senators suggested a portion go to the student activity fee. Bird would take full liability if any injury was to occur. Feedback from senators was positive. Senior Senator Sam Afshari suggested reaching out to Blue Duck, a locally based scooter company similar to Bird, to see if they can give a competitive offer. Ben Gonzalez, junior and senator, pointed out that a scooter partnership would also improve SGA's image. At the same meeting, senior senator Julia Schultz, chair of the Sustainability Committee, outlined the goals of the committee to focus on campus waste reduction and improved recycling. The committee will continue benchmarking Trinity against other schools and will reach out to other SGAs about what successful sustainability initiatives they've had in the past. The committee also plans on continuing to work towards giving clear plastic bags to City Vista residents for recycling. The dining options promised by Dining Services will be opening soon. The on-the-fly food truck, Tiger Press Juice Bar, Starbucks, Batch 101 Teaching Kitchen, and the Daily Grind are all scheduled to open in the coming weeks. The Daily Grind and Batch 101, both located in Maybe Dining Hall, are now in the final stage of permitting with the city. This week, Summer Moon was serving coffee at the Daily Grind. Bruce Bravo, Senior Director of Conferences and Auxiliary Services, explained that the delays that have occurred with these dining options are normal and often not in anyone's control. The Starbucks located in Coates Library is still on track to open in mid-October.
You need to kind of have your chops set, you know, from your practicing. And sorry, that's my phone, probably a very unimportant phone call right now that's calling me. Speaking of which, I probably owe you cookies, because in rehearsal, if a phone goes off, the singer needs to bring cookies into rehearsal. The last time it happened to me, it was like a reminder about getting my hair cut. And I was like, I called him. I was like, you had to play cookies for the choir. Dr. Gary Safeman and I direct the choirs here at the university. I also teach some of our music education courses and conducting. We have three ensembles that are all curricular, meaning that you receive credit for them through the creative expression part of Pathways. We have our Trinity Choir, which is our large mixed choir. We have our Voix d'Esprit, which is our women's course, kind of like a select kind of chamber group with that, kind of sometimes do out-of-the-box repertoire with that group. We kind of had a lot of fun with that. You know, a lot of multicultural stuff, things that are just kind of a little maybe edgy, as I kind of like to say. And then we have our Trinity University Chamber Singers, which is kind of our touring ensemble.
As I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, the Chamber Ensemble spent some time in Austria recently.
It was, wow, it was amazing. It was a really, really, really great trip. We traveled there at the beginning of August for 2 weeks, like August 3rd through the 16th or 17th or something like that. But it was part of this classical music festival in Eisenstadt, where we were invited about a year and a half ago by the festival to be the ensemble in residence. And so we had to perform two major choral orchestral works over there with professional orchestra from 11 different countries. And so we got to do Haydn's Creation, which is kind of like the pinnacle, one of the pinnacle choral works out there. And then we also got to do Beethoven's Mass in C. So we spent 2 weeks there in residence rehearsing, serving as the core ensemble for that, performing both works. We got to do Haydn's Creation in the Esterházy Palace, which is where Haydn worked for many years under the patronage of the Esterházy family. So it's this gorgeous acoustic, this even more gorgeous space to sing in. And then we did Beethoven's Mass in C in the church where he actually wrote the piece for, So it's, you're kind of walking in the footsteps of Beethoven, which is really cool. And then we got to sing it also at St. Stephen's Cathedral, which is like the giant iconic church in the middle of Vienna. So it was an amazing experience. And we were very honored that we got to be invited for that. And then we also gave some of our own concerts as well, you know, just as a group, a cappella concerts in some places there. The artistic director of this festival actually came to Trinity a few years ago to guest conduct another festival here in town. And we got a chance to work with him there. And so that was his kind of his first exposure with our program. And then soon after that, after he got to we got to sing for him and so forth, he put out the idea. He's like, you know, I had this festival. I'd love for y'all to, you know, make it work out and be the group that, that does it. So it was kind of that personal connection. It's a long-standing festival. And again, it was just, we got that invite and it was just like, wow, you know, we'll make this work, you know, and especially, you know, because it was late summer. We had some of the students that just graduated. It was literally up on the heels of the beginning of the semester. In fact, like the next day I was meeting with my first year advisees, you know, like I got off the plane, you know, and got home, kissed the kids, said hi to the wife, and then had to head out the next morning to do that. But it was just an amazing experience. It's, I mean, you're literally, it's, I was telling the singers, you know, you're kind of breathing that air and you go there and you see folks, you know, on the street, you know, playing violin, you know, and just, you know, it, and so, and then actually one of the highlights too, is we got to go to one of the cemeteries in Austria, in Vienna, where all these composers were buried. And so, and like, you know, Beethoven's like there and 5 feet across is Schubert, and it was just surreal. And so that experience to kind of breathe that air, to literally walk, you know, in the footsteps of where they're, you know, to see what they were doing on their way to the concert hall, you know, and just to see the scenery, to hear the birds and, you know, the Haydn's Creation. It's a very scenic work, you know, which, you know, it's talking about the, you know, the 7 days of creation, of course. And so, you know, you have like, you talk about like the birds and you talk about like when the whales were created and all that kind of stuff. And so you're actually like hearing, I joked with my singers, it's kind of like you're hearing some of the descendants of some of the birds that Haydn heard, you know, because, you know, because you're walking literally around this palace. And so it was, and the audiences there, I mean, they're packed houses, you know, very appreciative of what we did. And the, you know, singing it at the cathedral, in which there was hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of people there, and it was within the context of a mass there. So we got to do, you know, the 5 movements of the mass within the context of the liturgy, which is kind of what it was, you know, most masses are inspired by that, obviously. So it was surreal. And then just the acoustics, you know, and hearing, you know, this 8-second reverb in the cathedral, you know, after you're singing something like that, and there's a final release of the chord, and then you kind of hear it, whoa, 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 for like 8 seconds afterwards. And like to see the faces of the singers after that would happen, just like their eyes are lit up, you know. It's just, the churches do a lot of the work for you in terms of the sound.
The Chamber Ensemble is, of course, back from Austria, and along with the other choral ensembles, is preparing an impressive repertoire for their various performances this year.
So we have our fall choir concert going on October 16th. It's a Tuesday night at 7:30, and that just features all the choirs. That's in Parker Chapel. We have a few little runouts with some of the other groups, you know, chamber singers. We have an even song we're singing next weekend, and little things like that. But actually, the thing I'm really excited about this year is in February, we're doing a big choir alumni festival as part of Trinity's 150th anniversary. And so we are, you know, we're going to have many, many, many alum from the past 6 or 7 decades. And some of them are flying from across the country to come and be part of this 2-day festival, which is just going to be this surreal experience to have, you know, folks who graduated in the late 1950s who are in that same choir room, you know, singing alongside our, you know, class of 22, you know, students. And it's going to be an experience, I think, that's just going to be very enriching from both ends. I know there's a lot of buzz generated from a lot of the alumni who are coming back to do this. And it's something that we sort of played around with before when I first got here, doing this in a much smaller scale. But this, I mean, this, we're involving, you know, so many different university offices that have been kind of really been helping to help with the organization of this. And we have this host committee of 20 alum from the past, you know, 6 decades who are kind of, you know, shaking the bushes to get their friends and former colleagues. For some of these people, this is the first time they've probably sung in a long time. And for many of them, you know, they continue to sing in the community choirs and church choirs, but it's a way to just for them to reconnect with these experiences that they had, you know, at Trinity. You know, for a lot of them, You know, and the great thing I love about Trinity, and I think I remember hearing your interview with Dr. Kinnear about this, the fact that so many of our students are not music majors. And so you have folks who are, in some of our alumni are leaders in their various fields, you know, entrepreneurship or business or science, and some of their fondest memories are being in the music department, you know, and so there is that connection that they kind of have, like, you know, this lifelong connection with each other, and for them to kind of come together for this festival, it's going to be really, really exciting, and I think very emotional for everyone.
Trinity University's ensembles are unique. Trinity is a small liberal arts university, and many of the members are not music majors.
Man, they're a pain in the butt. I'm just kidding. No, I'm totally kidding. Well, some days, but they're smart, and I love the fact that I think Dr. Kinnear hit on this too. I mean, I can make references in class about, you know, non-musical references. And not only do they get these references, but in many cases, they're better at it than I am. You know, I made a reference this yesterday, actually. We're doing a breathing exercise, and I had them, you know, imagining, like, these race cars were driving by, and they're going whoosh, 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 and, you know, just, you know, imagining the sound going by. And I made some dumb reference about a train going through there, and some student kind of, you know, corrected me about the fact that, you know, the physics of the train going by would not kind of create, like, the sound I was kind of going for. You know, I mean, so I totally felt like an idiot, you know, which I do most days, I guess, because our folks are really, really smart. And I think it translates into how we make music. I think, you know, music is both an emotional and it's a cerebral, you know, art, you know, and trying to find that balance of, you know, when to let the mental part take over in rehearsal and then when to kind of let it go. And I use that term all the time in rehearsal, when to let it go and let the emotional part take over. Yeah, so you have to have your chops. And so there's that cerebral element, you know, and working on muscle memory. And so every rehearsal, I mean, we go right up until, you know, the edge of that last second. You know, we try to cram in as much as we can get to it. And so that way, you know, we can then finally just trust that muscle memory and trust all that work. And then hopefully in performance, take it to the next level and have the audience kind of, you know, appreciate, you know, that work and make it sound like it was easy to put together. You know, our goal is to make it sound easy, even though it's not.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. The other thing in the spring we do is we do a big choral union. You know, we do a masterwork with the orchestra and the combined choirs. We have in December, we have our big Vespers service, which is, you know, open up to the whole university community, followed by the caroling in Oakmont, you know, where the vice presidents, all their homes on Oakmont, open up their homes to campus for little treats and churros and hot tea and all that kind of stuff. And so that's one of Trinity's longest standing traditions, I think, in the entire university. And we're kind of at the heart of that, which is really, really exciting. And so I always try to impress to the students the importance we are, especially during that time of year and when in which, you know, the university community is kind of looking at us to kind of get them into the spirit of the holiday, and also to just be a way to kind of represent what this university is in terms of, you know, people from all different majors coming together and making music. It's refreshing to work here and to constantly be challenged by our students.
That's it for this week's edition of the Trinitonian Podcast. The Trinitonian Podcast is recorded at the studios of Trinity University's KRTU 91.7 FM, San Antonio's home for jazz by day and indie by night, and produced by me, Dominic Anthony. Our intro music is Elac, written by San Antonio-based project Vana, and our outro music is Vacation, written by San Antonio-based project Elna.